Like, go ahead, the recorder's on.
Good evening. I'd like to call the meeting for the Curry Beach Town Council for Monday, October 21st to order. Commissioner Allen, if you would give us our invocation, then we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we are meeting today to conduct the matters of business for Curry Beach. Guide our hearts and our minds in the spirit of fairness, right thought, and speech. Impart your supreme wisdom upon our activities so that our affairs may reach a successful conclusion. Thank you for being our source of guidance this afternoon. Amen.
Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item tonight is the approval of the consent agenda. Commissioners, do you have anything we need to discuss or ready to make a motion?
Make a motion we approve as presented.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, good. Good. Next is the adoption of the agenda. Anybody have anything we need to add or anything to that? I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve as presented.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Thank you. Motion passes. Public comment period. Public comment period, persons making public comments or do so at the podium, provide their name and address and be limited to 3 minutes. Written and email comments will not be read at the meeting and will be included in minutes of the meeting. Speaking out of turn from the audience, inflammatory, immaterial, irrational comments are not permitted. A comment seeking a response may be responded to by the council, addressed during department head reports, or delegated to staff to address at a later time. First, we have Lee Brennan on the stormwater fund. So Lee, please step up.
I've got a copy for you fellas.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Bonnie. Good evening, town council. I said staff, I guess that's Beth and fellow neighbors. My name is Lee Brennan. My wife and I live at 210 North Fifth Avenue, just next door here in Beachwalk. We've been there for 17 years and have never experienced any flood condition like that of the Tropical Storm Number 8 cyclone. I don't know where that name comes from. On the 16th of September, we had 6 to 8 inches of water at our home at the ground level, including the garage, guest suite, bathroom off it, my office, and utility room. All that water arrived in our ground level via 2 garage doors, and 1 man door in front and 1 in back. And it was all the extraordinary water that laid in Beachwalk. It's our belief that the cost of this excess water and damage is as a result of Curry Beach's system being unable to properly handle stormwater to the Cape Fear River, thereby backing up water into our community. Our Beachwalk community solely maintains 2 ponds and without any financial support from others, even though both Curry Dunes and the town of Curry Beach drain their stormwater into these ponds. The floodplain, to my knowledge, is just the beach in Curry Beach. Additionally, on the 18th of September, we received a telephone call from the town of Curry Beach on John Batten's old line at around 1:20, requesting that we leave a message if we had damage due to that tropical storm. I left a message and described our problem. We've never heard a response. I'm just going on record to make sure that the town is aware of our dilemma. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Cindy Mayer.
Hello. And thank you, Mayor Allen, Council members here. I am Cindy Mayer, and I'm here on behalf of Friends of Cherry Beach.
Address, please, Cindy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. 245 Sealing Way. And on here for the Friends of Cherry Beach, and that is a new nonprofit that we have created in partnership with the town that will help for us to be able to do grants, donations, and raise money for the town's master plan of their parks and recreation facilities. So we are very excited about that. Came in February to announce our formation of this. We worked until then through August and have a formal MOU or memorandum of understanding and agreement with the town outlining our purposes. So I wanted to come here today and just mention it to the council that we are up and running and that you'll be seeing us around. Wanted to explain and go over who is on our board right now. I am city mayor and I'm the chair. Greg Germain is vice chair and treasurer. Eileen Kluke is secretary, and Michael Gustafson is our technical director. We have a website that's up and running, and we're always going to be a work in progress for a while, but we're very excited about this. Everyone has the opportunity to go out, and we would love for you to look at friendsofcurybeach.org, and that is our website. You can be a founding member. You can give any type of donation. If you love to work and help raise money, you can contact us, and we'll be glad to have you on the staff. We're very excited about it. And as we're getting this going, we're also very excited that we are working and trying to get a group of what we're terming advisors. And very pleased that Sean and Nikki will be advisors for the Park and Rec. Amy Purvis has agreed to be an advisor for the Joe Eats Park and the pickleball piece of it. Nick Lay has agreed to be an advisor for the tennis group. You know, if you want to be an advisor for the dog park or if there's something that you're really interested in, you know, we're looking at all areas within the town as it is within the scope of the town's master plan for enhancement and improvement in our areas. Again, you'll see us in the community. We're going to be at in CB at Trash and Treasure. We're going to be at the holiday markets here. So we look forward to meeting you. And if you have any questions, just please let us know. I wanted to hand out cards as part of what we've got going on, just to kind of let you know. And I thank you. And again, thank you, Council and Mayor Allen for partnering with us so that we can move forward and just help to continue to enhance the
Cherry
Beach Parks and Recreation Facility. So thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. James Craig.
That's made copies for me.
James Craig.
Okay. James, what he put.
Right? I know. I didn't know what I changed.
John. Oh, you got two. If I can get him to start. Sorry. There we go. Okay. Tommy.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, my name is James Craig. I've been a full-time resident of Cherry Beach since 2013, and I live at 121 North 5th Avenue, street away that way. My comments tonight are regarding the possible changes for seasonal parking passes next year. Now, resolution that is going to be talked about tonight, resolution 2412, came as a surprise to me last Friday when I was looking at the agenda, and nobody that I've talked to knows anything about it. And my questions tonight should hopefully start a discussion with the residents that may face much larger parking pass us next year. So the first question, number one, is parking has been free or discounted to Curry Beach residents for many years, and the beach replenishment program has been going on for decades. So what changed this year? Were new federal regulations established, or did somebody with Corps of Engineers decide to reinterpret existing regulations? The second is Riceville Beach and Carolina Beach have also been part of the beach replenishment program. And are these towns planning to follow the new mandate by the Corps and change their parking rules for 2025? And if not, why not? Number three, discounted seasonal parking pass for us has been $20 per vehicle since 2021. My question is, what will the non-discounted parking pass cost in 2025? If this amount for parking has not been decided, will the council provide time for public input before it finalizes the fee? And lastly, I'm not a lawyer, but it seems to me that this recent court decision regarding public parking near the beach is a federal overreach. And the Corps is clearly, to me, using beach replenishment program as leverage to control municipal policy. Now, Resolution 2412 accepts this overreach and sets a precedent. So my question for the council is, the council concerned that the Corps would use this leverage again in the future to control other activities on or even near the beach? And so I think all the residents of Curry Beach, when they get wind of this, or would appreciate the beginning of this dialogue and some answers to these, I think, fair questions. Thank you.
Thank you. If y'all would please, and James, make sure you stay. I will be addressing a lot of your questions tonight already. I don't have all the answers, but this will be it is an agenda item tonight, and we'll be discussing a lot of your questions. So I'll try to answer all your questions when I get to that part of the agenda. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. That's all for public comment. Next item on the agenda is Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Mo?
I'm so happy to be here this evening. We've all had a heck of a few months in our town, and I'd like to begin by saying thank you to you, commissioners, Mayor Pro Tem Hegler, especially, who handled our emergency coordination, to our police department, our fire department, and Jimmy and the gang at Public Works, who have all worked to get us back to normal. Sean and Nikki, our Facebook coordination, it seems to be working out pretty well. Thank you for that. Meanwhile, the Bike Ped Committee has had a very successful month or two. A couple of us attended the Bike Walk North Carolina Summit. This statewide organization focuses exclusively on the safety, health, community design, and equity dimensions of active mobility. The event featured both nationally recognized and regional presenters. Our own Nicole Kohler of Three Wheel Therapy was one of our state success stories. If you haven't seen her Facebook page, I recommend you watch her video. And her Facebook page is the number 3 Wheel Therapy. The summit also offered interactive hands-on tools and experiences that attendees could bring back to their own communities, and was a valuable educational and networking resource for anyone who cares about creating safer streets and healthier, more equitable communities for all road users. This year, we were also joined by Councilman Hoffer of Carolina Beach, Rodney Kidd, Carolina Beach Bike Ped Committee Chairperson, and Officer Derek McNeil of Carolina Beach, whom you might have seen on his police bike. He attended a class that gave him credits for the traffic investigation program, as this summit is sponsored by the Governor's Highway Safety Program. We want to thank you for proclaiming the month of October 2024 in Curry Beach as Walktober and Pedestrian Safety Month. This was a suggestion by Howard and Jennifer Ames, and hopefully next year we'll be able to embellish it even more. But keep walking, the month's not over yet. Our proudest moment this month was the tremendous success of our inaugural Tour de Island with 65 riders on October 5th. Our island community celebrated connection and outdoor recreation with the group bike ride. Our committee, along with Carolina Beach Bikehead Committee, the Island Women, the Terry Benji Bicycling Foundation, and Friends of Carrie Beach, joined forces to make this event a success. Starting from Carrie Beach Town Hall, riders embarked on a 5 or 10 mile journey, exploring notable island attractions. Cycling brings joy and appreciation for life. The tour showcased recent infrastructure improvements, including NCDOT crosswalk lights with beg buttons on Fort Fisher Boulevard, and we're trying to educate people to actually push the beg button so the lights go on. The mural project in Carolina Beach, and the amazing work accomplished by the Friends of Carolina Beach at Mike Chapel Park. As soon as Public Works can come up for air, we have a few more walk left and bike right signs to be installed. And we received a grant from the Terry Benji Bicycling Foundation, which purchased 3 bike racks. I believe they've arrived and will be installed at 3 of the new lighted crosswalks. We're looking forward to participating at both holiday markets, as this is a great opportunity for education and communication. You may have seen our ad in the Pleasure Island News. In November, we will be promoting Be Safe, Be Seen. Please wear high vis or lights as you walk or bike from dusk to dawn. Any questions?
We've been busy.
We've been busy.
Thank you, ma'am. Community Center Committee, Nikki? Good. And we have a new chair, right?
Correct.
Historic preservation?
No updates.
No updates. Marketing committee?
Yeah.
Mark?
Real quick. Just a couple things to fill you guys in on. We appreciate you guys getting me involved with the tourism master plan input session. I participated in that, conveyed basically a summary PowerPoint of what we've been talking about for the last couple of years to them that I thought was very well received. And so we're looking for to see where that goes. The second thing is I met with the CDMAC, Jeff Hogan. I think we've done that in a long, long time to try to see where we have some synergies, to see where we can maybe work together and, you know, basically learn a little bit more about their strategy. And, you know, they have a lot of same similar goals and ideas that we have. And we feel like maybe working a little more closely together might be able to get us a little more leverage with the CDB and with the direction and the strategy. And then we're trying to determine how we can meet and combine our efforts going forward. He's been to talk with his group, and I need to debrief to Connie and the rest of our team and see where we want to go next, if we want to schedule some regular meetings with them to discuss more island-level things versus town things, because there's a lot of things we share and from a tourism standpoint. I'll give you more feedback on that at a future meeting once we get some progress. So the only other thing was is the next step is to meet with Connie and the team and debrief. But is there anything else on this?
Yeah. So I attended the CVB, their program of work, where they actually go over their annual budget for 24-25, and of course we're going to collect more next year than we did this year. That's always their projection. So that was it was a good meeting. They go over, you know, what they think is their program of work for the year. The other thing which Mark just mentioned, if you haven't done already, go to the town website and you'll see that there's a survey on there that you can take, and that's what he was talking about. They're doing a tourism master plan, the CVB is doing. It takes about 15 minutes, so go online, click on the survey, and under that you can tell them, you know, what is important to you as a resident in terms of tourism. So this is a way for them to not only find out what the tourists want, but what do the residents that live here want in terms of tourism and how we spend our money.
And one of the things that I really pressed on them, just so you guys know, is that the tour people come here as tourists because they like the same things we like. And so when you have input into this survey, generally, I've been a big fan of whatever the residents and whatever the locals want is typically what the tourists are looking for down here too, in terms of the amenities. So I think that will come through that survey as well. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Planning zone, excuse me. Shoreline access and beach protection.
No updates.
No updates there. Stormwater committee.
I have an update tonight from Tracy. She's unable to attend tonight, but she sent me a text message.
Okay.
The Stormwater Oversight Committee met on October the 3rd. This meeting marked the highest level of community engagement of experience to date. This increased participation was largely driven by public concerns following recent water events. Every representative from the respective associations provided updates on the performance of their stormwater systems. I am pleased to report that all systems operated as designed during the recent water events. While we could delve into discussions about 50, 100, and 500-year water events, it is important to note that these classifications simply describe volumes measured over periods of time. However, the focus of this meeting was the particular performance of our systems under the conditions faced. Commissioner Heckler followed the updates with a detailed presentation on how the town stormwater system as a whole functioned during these events. The presentation was followed by a brief Q&A session with concerned residents during which all questions were thoroughly answered. Tracy Mitchell, chair of the Stormwater Oversight Committee. And that will be included with the minutes.
Okay. Doug, do you have anything?
Yeah. So I have the presentation, and since many of these people were not there and three of the council members were not there, I thought we'd go through part of it. So if you could bring that up, Beth.
Yes, 1 second.
And then it's in the packet for everyone that wants to see it.
Right here.
Yes, sir, I don't have a fancy logo or anything like Alan does, but.
I didn't do mine my way.
So it looks good, though. It looks good, right? Next slide.
Sorry, it's kind
of. Yeah, switching.
There you go.
Okay, so as everyone in here knows, potential tropical cyclone 8 brought between 15 and 17 inches of rain in less than 12 hours on the 16th of September to the island. So according to where you look, where it's measured, I just put 17. Every stormwater system in the town was overwhelmed by this reported 1,000-year flood. So there was flooding in every HOA. There was flooding in all the old neighborhoods in town in the low points. There were 147 homes that experienced flooding into their living spaces, including mine, which I'm on 5th Street and E Avenue. And so when we talk about the systems, which we're going to get into a little bit, the fact is that if God sends 17 inches of rain in less than 12 hours, none of the systems in the town of Curie Beach or in the state of North Carolina or in the country of the United States is designed for that much rain in that amount of time. All of them were overwhelmed. This amount of rainfall in this duration exceeded Hurricane Florence in 2018, which was 24 inches, but it was over 24 hours, not 12, and Hurricane Floyd in 1999. Next slide, please. This is the most interesting graphic for the citizens, I think. So this takes the zoning map and then converts it to the permits for HOAs and how water flows in the town. So at the very top, on the back side of the town, is the Cape Fear River. There are four wet ditches that go into the Cape Fear River and then multiple swales in the south part of town. So any neighborhood built after 1989, because of the stormwater policies, sends their water to the west. So if you look in the center part of that town where you see all these permits, those are the actual stormwater permits for all of the neighborhoods in town, and that's the permit number if you wanted to look it up. This is what the Stormwater Committee talks about when we talk about the systems. Each of those permit holders is responsible to the state to comply to their permit, their original permit. And so that's why in your HOAs, you have stormwater dues and you spend money mucking out ponds or doing maintenance because the state of North Carolina requires you to do that. That was a requirement for when you built your property. All the rest of the town that is not in one of those boxes, so nice multicolors, were built before or don't really have a stormwater system per se. And basically the way the stormwater works in any of those other communities, if you're west of 4th Avenue in the majority of town, your water goes to the west because that's where the ridgeline runs. If you're east of 4th Avenue, it runs to the Atlantic Ocean. And at the bottom, you can see the Atlantic Ocean, 15 outfalls. There are two outfalls owned by Department of Transportation, North Carolina DOT. One is to the north of town at Alabama Avenue, that big pipe you see out there that's where you see all the surfers at. The other one is just south of the Riggins, right in the curve of 421, and it goes south of the Riggins right there at the beaches. The other 13 are maintained pipes that were put in the 60s and 70s by the town of Curie Beach. And so during beach renourishment, we have to work with the Corps engineers to repair those. We build them. When the storms take them away, Public Works repairs them, and we make sure that they work. We are just now cameraing them from the storm previous to this one in August, and the cammering is about halfway through. They'll finish up next week because they had some equipment issues. But all of these systems, so these 19 points of water to leave Curie Beach were all exceeded during the storm that we're talking about. I was out during the storm, Public Works was out during the storm, none of them got blocked, but all of them, the pipes were completely full. Once the pipes are full, the water's going to go wherever it goes. And then that's where I said at the beginning, if you're at the low part of your neighborhood, you got water in your house, like 146 other properties in Curie Beach. Next slide. So what do we do during the storm? We knew, if you remember, 3 to 6 inches of rain were coming, which is not that big a deal for Curie Beach, but we had had an issue at H Avenue about 4 weeks before, 3 or 4 weeks before, so early that Monday morning, we were out looking at that and making sure it was clear, as well as checking all the other stormwater systems. As the rain started and then continued, suddenly we shifted into, okay, this isn't 3 to 6 inches, and now we have to do other things. So within your neighborhoods, there are lift stations. Some of you may get an alarm every once in a while that really is aggravating, and that is what moves your sewage from your house to Carolina Beach. So all a lift station does is pumps it to a higher level, and then it gravity drains to the next point. During the event, we had two lift stations that had problems, required manual intervention, and then four others were alarming throughout the event because either people were opening their sewer cleanouts to try to get water out of their yards, or there was leakage into the system which overfilled the lift stations. And lift stations, it's a state requirement that we respond to those immediately because that's a health department issue if one overflows in a neighborhood, especially with flooding. So that's the first thing that Public Works is doing. The very next thing they were doing is making sure that all the stormwater systems were not clogged. And so you saw Public Works personnel and myself going throughout town checking things. I was checking the outlets. So I was on the backside looking at the big ditches. And then Public Works was on the inlet side making sure that individual stormwater systems were not clogged by something from someone's house coming and clogging it, which could cause localized flooding. We've had issues with that before. Once the rain stops, the systems continue to drain water from all the areas. And so the majority of town, 3 to 4 hours after the water stopped falling, was clear. The beachwalk area was a little slower than that because on the backside of the island, the clearing from Matsu coupled with sheet drainage was flowing water into that, and if you drove to around Dow Curve the day after or the next few days after, you saw where it had eroded into that ditch. So all that sheet drainage filled up that ditch and took longer to clear out than it should have. And I'll talk about what the town has done with that in the short term and long term. As Tracy reported from our October 3rd stormwater meeting, no stormwater system failed during this event, and no one in inspections afterwards reported any damage to any of the permitted stormwater systems. Next slide. So the fire department, there were 24 water rescues, either from vehicles or actually within households during this event. So the highest water that I saw was waist deep in a house. Ed, were there any higher than that?
Yeah, around 3.5, 4 feet.
3.5, 4 feet in some of the properties in the old part of Hamby and Wilmington Beach. At the worst of the storm in the late morning to early afternoon, there was no access to multiple parts of the town due to road flooding that exceeded the fire truck. We eventually got a New Hanover County high water rescue vehicle down to the fire station, but we were using the bus trucks to respond to anything. And we could not get to the south end of the town for about 2 hours. And then they provided additional assistance as they were going around and saw issues. Next slide. The police department, we requested and received New Hanover County emergency high water rescue vehicle, which was available to us. There were multiple road closures either by our police department or by individual citizens blocking roads so that people would not drive through their neighborhood and push more water into their homes. Multiple people were stopped by PD and emergency personnel, including myself, for driving too fast in high water and pushing water into homes. Next slide. Okay, so development compliance. All properties in Curie Beach were surveyed externally as required by the state and federal government, which was reported to the Emergency Management Services of the state of North Carolina. So anytime you declare a state a disaster, you have to then, after the disaster, do a report required by state law that says here's what happened. And so that's what we did. So that happened over the next 3 days after the storm. Our building inspector was supported by New Hanover County building inspections personnel in that. They do not come walk inside your house. They circle your house, and they estimate based off the water line or the debris line whether you got damage inside your house based off the water line from externally. This is exactly what happens in a hurricane as well. And then they offered contact information to affected citizens for mitigation grant funding from New Hanover County. Next slide. Admin, finance, and legal. As soon as we realized how much damage we did, both the finance and legal department worked to get a contract for debris removal from the storm. We accelerated that, and we had debris removal starting the very next week. And we went around the town for the next week and a half getting debris from all the properties that were damaged and some other people that decided to clean out their properties as well. And then we reported all public spending for storm-related issues to the state. This is a key piece of getting both the state and federal disaster declarations that just occurred this past weekend. Next slide. Okay, so following the storm, the mayor and I met the next day with emergency management from the state of North Carolina, the emergency manager of New Hanover County, and County Commissioner Dan Scalise to talk about our issues and began advocating for a state and federal declaration. We finally got that on the 16th. So the way that works is us and Brunswick County both submitted all the issues that we had. The requirement to get a Type 1 disaster declaration in the state of North Carolina is 1%, Arlen, of our annual budget, or 2%? I can't remember.
One.
I think it was 1%. 1%. So we gathered all of the spending during the storm as well as the recovery issues that we spent money on, and then submitted that to the state as the request to get a Type 1 disaster declaration in accordance with General Statute 166. That just happened on the 16th. Hopefully you saw your emergency announcement this morning from the town saying that the Disaster Recovery Center was stood up today and will be there for the next week at the Recreation Center in Carolina Beach. If you had damage to your home, whether you had flood insurance or not, I encourage you to at least check out what those programs offer, because you may get something out of that. As I said at the stormwater meeting, for most of us in Curie Beach, that would be a low interest loan. They're not going to give us grants because we're not that poor. We may feel like it, but we're not. But you may get a low interest loan. And what I said in that meeting, and I'll say in this meeting, is for myself, I'm going to evaluate that loan versus my savings, because I don't have flood insurance, because on Fifth Street I didn't think I needed it, and see which one of those is better for my wife and I. But each of you should review your individual circumstances. So there, once the governor declares a type 1 disaster, there's two pots of monies that happen. And backing up a little bit, before this happened, so the mayor and I also met with Charlie Miller, our representative, Mike Lee, our House Senator, and Senator Raven from Brunswick County. Mm-hmm. In Curie Beach, we toured them around to start advocating for, we wanted the governor to at least give us a state declaration, because at that time it did not look like the federal declaration was going to happen based on the impact. So we were advocating for this state disaster declaration. That was on the Thursday after the event. And we spent about an hour and a half walking around with them, sending them pictures. Since then, both offices, Senator Lees and Representative Miller, have reached out to the town, and we've provided them additional information. They went into session. They got a bill passed for Brunswick and New Hanover County requesting this. The governor just finally, and he's been pretty busy with the hurricane, right? So it's not like he wasn't working on it, but he just came through on the 16th and gave the type 1 disaster declaration. That's why what we've been waiting for. So now you can have this disaster recovery center, and hopefully people will go up there and see what they offer. That opens two types of funding. The public assistance funding will pay us back on all the money that we spent on your behalf to pick up all the debris, which is looking about $150,000, I think.
I think we estimated about $190,000 for everything.
Okay, $190,000. So the town has committed $190,000 to getting us back where we are. We're hoping the state or the federal government will pick that up. So that's the public assistance side. And then anything for the public buildings that's not covered by insurance, because this building flooded as well during this event. Outside of insurance, we would hope to get something back for that as well, so we're not using your tax dollars, but we're putting the town back. Individual assistance is what could help you as an individual, and that's why I encourage you to go see what's available. That's the state actions. Next slide. So then the mayor and I, on Saturday after event, met with David Rouser and who's his assistant?
Chance Lambeth.
And Chance Lambeth. At Town Hall, toured them around, showed them H Avenue, the Dune, showed them through the neighborhoods. We went through multiple neighborhoods. At that time, it was a perfect time to tour them because everyone had torn all their stuff out and we hadn't started picking it up yet. So they could see all the debris everywhere. Very good thing. And it just on the 19th, it looks like the federal government is going to declare this a federal disaster. And so that will make some more things. I couldn't find before this meeting exactly what that opens up. But whether it's state or federal money, there are some options to potentially help our citizens. Next slide. I'm not sure what the next slide is.
It's done.
Perfect. I was hoping
if I could add.
Well, I had two things, but you can go first.
So the state actually passed some legislation that included the western part of the state. But Representative Miller and Senator Lee and the Brunswick County folks and all our people in New Hanover and Brunswick County got our counties included in that legislation for relief funding, but they left out the dollar amount because we were still gathering information. So I happened to run into Representative Miller at lunch last Friday. We shared with him our cost estimate that we shared with emergency management. So he was going to use that when they go back into session this week. So we should hear more about how much, what kind of money is going to come back to the town through the state legislation. We were not really expecting the federal.
No,
we didn't at all. And that's a good thing to happen today, because our damages were not as large as other events. So that's all I had.
Yeah, it's good. And so then, going back to the first slide, you don't need to go back, but going back to what I talked about, outfalls and infalls. So we also met with North Carolina Department of Transportation. We toured them first on 421 side and highlighted the fact that the 13 outfalls that the town owns and the two outfalls that they own did not keep up with the amount of stormwater we had, and asked them to begin evaluating what they should be sized for. And if they say they should be higher, then we'll start pursuing with the EPA and North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality to get permission to upsize those. Because they go straight to the ocean, they would never be permitted these days, so we'll have to see how that plays out. But that's the pursuit of that side of the town, which is everyone on 421. The other side is we met with the same NCDOT and went back and looked at the three ditches that crossed Dow Road. Henniker's Ditch, which serves the northern part of town. The Midline Ditch, which doesn't directly service any of the neighborhoods, but indirectly pulls all of the water out of the Matsu property behind Settlers Lane. And then the K Avenue Ditch, which services Beach Walk and Curie Beach Village and Town Hall and part of K Avenue. And we asked them for a hydrological study of should that pipe be bigger than it is, because it's a 36-inch pipe and it was over full. Today, the mayor and I went around with Matsu, because this is the first time we could get them out here, and did the exact same thing. So Matsu is aware of the request, and they're aware that DOT is the lead on that. If we can make the pipe bigger with DOT support and Matsu support, that is the path forward. But it's going to be a slow path. She said it couldn't happen with it faster than a year, and that's if the engineering study from DOT says it has to do that. Since then, DOT is not really very communicative, because they're in the western part of the state repairing all the roads that are gone. So they're doing bigger tasks, but we are on their list and we'll keep pressuring them. So that's all I have for council and for the citizens from our stormwater meeting.
I hope that answered some questions for everybody tonight. Thank you, David. Yes, David has been... Yes, sir, Jim.
I just think you all did a magnificent job.
Well,
speaking from the
town. Thank you, sir. Thank you. David needs a pat on the back. He's done an excellent job of staying on top of everything and trying to keep everybody focused and going in the right direction. So we're very, very thankful to have David around. See, some people do say.
Thanks, David. Like thanks, Terry. Thanks. Good. It's all good.
Guys, it's been kind of crazy around here, but all in all, between our staff and everybody else, the commissioners and everybody, we've been able to function, and we're very lucky. Nobody got hurt. That's the main thing. And our, you know, we can see how devastating a major storm can be. So it's just tough. All right, that's all for committee business. Next is department head business. Mandy is not here tonight. She's not feeling very well. But as you can see, I will give one little update. I got a call on the morning of the rain event that the town hall was flooding at 9:15. So we had water that breached some exterior doors that were for like mechanical rooms and stuff, which allowed water to come in and wick out into the building. This conference room has completely been torn apart. You see around this room, all our base is up. We did get the carpet back in here for our council meeting tonight and for the election, But if you happen to go down the hallway, you got to kind of walk on pats of carpet because they had to rip up all the carpet to get this room back for, and some several offices. We did have water intrusion, and we're in the process of getting the town hall put back together. Us, all the way down to the end to Nikki, in the area of Nikki's office, and a little bit in the police department. But the town hall did have a good bit of flooding. But we got it taken care of, got a restoration company in here in a hurry and got it dried out real quick, so we should be in good shape there. Okay? Development and compliance. You have anything tonight for us? Okay. Finance department, Harlan, you have? I think you might have had an update on some of your stuff.
Right, and a lot of it actually has already been covered, so the things related to the storm. So I included in the agenda packet what we, I think David had mentioned about what we sent to the North Carolina Department of Emergency Management. With our estimated, preliminary estimated costs, and we're still basing everything off of this. Some of them are more firm than others, I guess, like the debris removal. We do have a contract. We still don't have the final billings for that yet, even though it was completed last week. But I could give some information, just the what's considered construction and demolition debris that was about 3,300 cubic yards removed. For vegetative debris, about 625 cubic yards. And then for household hazardous waste was a little over 1,300 pounds. They measure that a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So that was completed last Tuesday, the 15th. And I would expect that we'll get our final billing on all of that in the very near future. Some other things, just the overtime, and actually the categories that you see over on the left is the way FEMA classifies the different types of what they consider the categories of work. So the category A is the debris removal and debris monitoring, because another requirement is not only removing the debris, but having an independent company monitor that to make sure there's no... like fraud that occurs within it, because it's very subject to that. So, category B is considered emergency protective measures. So first I have town personnel and equipment. So that's any overtime that town employees incurred during the course of the storm. Then in addition, we can get reimbursed for the use of town equipment. So whether it's a police car, a fire truck, a backhoe, anything, whether a generator runs. So there's reimbursement rates for that. So we will be able to file for those things also. Also considered the emergency protective measures was the beach dune repair and other work down around H Avenue. That we have that's a pretty firm price for that, with the $110,000+ that that cost. Next, stormwater or water control facility. So that's primarily stormwater. We have a very, very preliminary estimate there of $500,000 for the stormwater outfalls, and that's where David had mentioned about the imaging that's being done right now. There's no real obvious signs of damage, but I think it's more suspected that it's back, you know, under the dunes and back towards the streets or whatever, that there may be damage. So that number is subject to change up or down. Mm-hmm. And then some of the other more significant things, I think Alan had mentioned about the town hall, actually, and then I think Doris Hutter mentioned about the community center and then at the police department and some of the damage there. So in total, we're almost at $900,000 as the preliminary estimates. So the reason I needed to go over that with everyone is that we, from a budgetary perspective, we need to amend our budget to make sure that we comply with state regulations for how much we're spending. And I did include a budget amendment, but I'm going to give you a new one. Because
well, it changed
on Saturday, the change with the FEMA declaration or federal declaration changed how we would actually fund this.
Okay.
So.
Is this the only thing you need our approval of?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So y'all want to take a minute, look over this, see if you have any questions for...
And
That was way better than the one that was in here.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Shows it from
the it added the FEMA reimbursement into the line items.
That's right, exactly right.
And what it really did was, rather than having to say that we were going to take money from our fund balance, because the actual amount that we may get from the state was unknown at that point, too. So it was actually to say we're going to take money from our savings before to actually pay for this. Now we should get reimbursed. And that process, what's considered the applicant briefing, they're having three of those this week. So I'll attend the first one, which is on Wednesday. So that kind of kicks the process off with
perfect.
Starting to gather all the documentation and file with FEMA.
And for the citizens, Arlen is good at working the system, and we always get our stuff in, and we're always the first to get our stuff in, and we're typically one of the first ones to get their funds back. So he and his staff, he and Karen, are stay up to date and attend all the webinars and seminars you have to go through to get to do what we have to do. So very fortunate there. I'll entertain a motion for the budget amendment.
Make a motion to amend the budget to account for FEMA reimbursement for the spending during the storm.
Second.
You got a motion and a second. Any other questions or concerns? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Beth, can we just make sure the amended one gets into the minutes?
Yes, sir, I will.
Thank you.
And we'll say, depending on the outcome of the work of the stormwater outfalls, there may be another one after this.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you.
Fire department.
No update, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Police?
No updates.
Public Works. I think Jimmy's not here.
Yeah, Jimmy's not feeling well either. He's not here. He had no updates.
Okay.
The building is on track.
We are on track of the building. If you go by Joe's house and look across the street, I think you're seeing some nice cinder block walls coming up. Joe and Debbie's out. That's going well. Recreation? Anything, Nikki? Okay. All right. Old business. 9.1. What my intentions are, if you pull that up, please, Ms. Beth.
I got to step up my PowerPoint game.
So, we'll give y'all an update on three projects we have going, three grants we have going for council and the public. The Coastal Area Management Act, CAMA. We have a public beach and coastal waterfront access program. We were awarded $139,466 to replace beach access number 140. That's L Avenue. That's a handicap accessible ramp. The next one is, and I'm going to go into these in a little more detail as we go through. The mid-block crossings, the town was awarded $250,000 of discretionary funding from Representative Miller and Senator Lee, direct funding from their office to install seven mid-block crossings along Fort Fisher and one at K and Settlers Lane. And then finally, the Fort Fisher Boulevard and K Avenue intersection improvements was a Coronavirus Recovery Act federal transportation grant that through the WMPO, and the town was awarded $359,559 to improve the intersection at Big Daddy's and Jack Mackerel's, all that corner right there. So high visibility, flashing beacons and crosswalks, and it should help that intersection a lot. So let me give you a little more update. So here's a picture of the CAMA grant stuff. And if you look in the bottom left, you'll see where the existing crosswalk goes down to the beach. As the dune has grown over the years, the dunes have grown down there. It's kind of taken over, and we've had to put plywood on the inside of it. It's in pretty rough shape, and it's really not ADA accessible right through there. So we're going to remove the 8-foot wide beach access and replace it with a new fully ADA compliant beach access. Next slide, please, Beth. So here's basically where it is now, and it'll follow basically the same footprint. We had Andrew Engineers do the design. We had geotechnical surveys and then a civil survey of the site. We received the proposals as of Friday, and we're in the process of reviewing those, and we'll bring a contract. Next thing is getting a contract and everything to do with the contractor that we select, and we should anticipate this being finished in the spring of 2025. So this is much needed, and I think we're going to really be a nice addition to our beach access, especially ADA accessibility at the beach. Next. Okay, the mid-block crossings. We had 7 crossings that were targeted. This came out of the bike ped master plan. As you see what those 7 are, we've completed Fort Fisher and Ocean. That's up at the upper end, almost at Alabama Avenue. M Avenue, that's the post office. Surfrider is Circle, has one, and Access, that's the far end of town, and then Public Access 1045 is right there at the Air Force Base where the crosswalks are existing. The other IE and Settlers are the other 3, and they required a little bit more engineering work to go. So Beth, if we could go to the next one, I think. Yeah, so the current status is those 3 we're waiting on right now. The plans are 90% complete, and we're ready to go through. It's been reviewed by DOT, and 100% plans are underway. Our next step is to go out for construction bid in November, finalize construction contract by January, and then this work will not be major construction. It'll be completed by Memorial Day weekend 2025. And here's just some views of what they will look like. The one on the left is I Avenue. You see the original crosswalk there will come out, and there'll be 2 crossings, one north-south and then one east-west to get you across, and in, as for safer for views. At E, basically the same approach, same logic, where they're across the E Avenue area and then take you across in a more visible more visible area to cross the street. And here's an aerial photo. Black is the proposed, and then white, number 3 there in the middle, will come out, and there'll be basically a better sight of vision there. Okay, next one. There's the one what E Avenue looks like. And then here's a major change. Crossing here, right up here at the corner by this sign, and a sidewalk that comes back to Town Hall from the existing sidewalk, and then crosses over K Avenue, and will get you to the existing sidewalk on the other side, and it'll have flashing beacons there also for people to cross and go to the park. And here are just some aerial shots of what they look like. And then the last one is the Fort Fisher K Avenue intersection. And as you can see, the day that Adrian took these pictures, she came down to do pictures for our grant application. The bottom left is people standing basically in the street with their families trying to figure out how to cross the street when the light changes there, and then how to get across the street. So you see we don't have a lot of space there on that corner at Big Daddy's. Next slide there, Beth. We're currently at 60% design and being reviewed by NCDOT. We're working with a Telex, some right-of-way management, and our next step will be to present to the town and get 100% plans to NCDOT, and then we'll release a RFQ for our construction after that. Here's a little bit about the project. The red is a new sidewalk as it comes through town. The orange will be a painted like a crosswalk through the Quick Mart parking lot. As you see the corners there where the red are and the black, that will be how that corner will be configured. There'll be some new curbing and some new cut marks there for handicap accessibility. So it's going to change it. Look, the biggest obstacle and problem in this project is the Big Daddy's Corner, and that's just, we have no visibility right there. So there will be some right-of-way discussions there, and we will bring back to council in the near future. And then the final part of this project is showing connectivity to other parts of town. At K Avenue and 3rd Street, there'll be a sidewalk that goes down to our community center. It runs along the length of 3rd Avenue down to the community center with a new crosswalk, an unlighted crosswalk over to the Lutheran Church. Because of the ADA requirement for parking, we had to remove the ADA parking that's on the church side of the street, and all the ADA parking is on the community center side. So this will provide safe crossing and passage for our handicapped parkers there. And there's a little more diagram of what that'll look like. They are adding another area from basically Big Daddy's north, if we want to consider that. It's not in the original grant, but that will be something we'll probably put into the project as an ad alternate. That part right there probably would be as expensive as anything, because it has several light poles that have to be relocated. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing about this last project, we have to move a fire hydrant and the wall at a fire hydrant over on the Jack Mackerel side, and the corner at Big Daddy's, and that's the two major things about that project. Council, I'll entertain any questions. I hope that, in a nutshell, has got you all up to date. Council, citizens, call me, look through the agenda packet, call me if you have any questions on it. I'll try to explain it as best I can. I've been very pleased. It's taken a little bit longer, but there have been some, we've had to do our homework on this. So it's going well. Hopefully we won't see Fort Fisher and Kay completed this year before Memorial Day, but with the process with federal money and NCDOT, it just takes a little bit longer. It's just amazing. So I can see people, and I think John will attest to this, working with WMPO, I think people have worked their whole careers and sometimes they never see some of the stuff finished before they get what they started. So this takes a while. That's all I have on that for that. Thank you, Beth. New business. Mr. Attorney, I think you got something there about the scheduling of hearing.
We've got the Seabirds special use permit application that requires a quasi-judicial hearing, and that's going to be, staff recommends that we hear that during your council meeting next month. So if you want to fix that date for that hearing, there'll be more material and et cetera to follow, but first step is to go ahead and fix that date.
That's November 18th?
Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Madam Clerk says that's correct.
All right, do we need to vote on that, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Make a motion, we schedule a quasi-judicial hearing for special use permit application on November the 18th for the attorney's request.
I'll second.
A motion and a second, any discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. Okay. Now, consideration and action on resolution R-2412, pricing seasonal parking passes at the same rate for residents and non-residents. I'm going to try to explain this as best I can. And if I don't do a good job of it, I'll try to do it again later at the next meeting we have. So, the Corps of Engineers, every beach community, whether it's Riceville, Carolina, Curie Beach, has a agreement that we have to sign with the Army Corps of Engineers. And in that agreement, we have certain things that we have to agree to. And one thing is to provide parking, roads, access to the beaches. Fair and, remember this term, fair and equal to all. Okay? We've been, our program has been going here. We have a 50-year authorization, so we've been going since 1997. We go to 2047. Carolina Beaches program was going many years before, so we kind of got into the program late. So they had an agreement that was under, that needed to be updated. And then when because of a couple other things going on with Carolina Beach, the parking issue came up to where parking was fair and equal to all. So the first thing the Corps of Engineers asked us to do is verify that we had the parking spaces that we needed or we were required to have, which was 443 parking spaces. So I very quickly replied back to their letter stating that we actually had more than that, that the town had done a really good job of organizing our parking. We had an ADA action plan. I referred to that where we had added more handicap parking throughout town, and I thought that was going to pass, to be quite honest with you. I was getting favorable comments back from the Corps of Engineers, and then it hit the people that do the, I'm not talking about the people that help us put sand on the beach, I'm talking about the people that do policy. They wanted us to verify that our parking was fair and equal to all with having paid parking. Carolina Beach is doing the same thing. Rifle hadn't had to do it yet because they just finished their project. It wasn't brought up during their project, but it will be their next project. They'll have to do it. So between us and Carolina Beach, we're bickering back and forth with them. Our parking program is a little bit different than Carolina Beach's, so we wrote them a letter back. And this is all with the attorney and the council knowing what's going on. And we wrote them a letter back. And we stated that we felt like that our parking was fair and equal because our residents, even though they got a resident rate discount, that we pay taxes. Makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? We all pay state, county, and local taxes that do stuff like fire protection, police protection, ocean rescue, garbage collection, water and sewer, the whole nine yards. Sent it back to them. I'm feeling pretty good. I thought this was going to be it. They how could you turn this down? Well, they did. They sent a letter back again, and they give us a drop-dead date of, I can't remember what it was now, of where we had to get the information into them. So we were backed into a corner because if we didn't hurry up, this project should have already been on the street for bidding. It's not there yet. Our project is not on the street yet to get contracts done. So basically they said, you provide those services whether we have a renourishment program or not. So this is not a valid excuse or valid reason. I shouldn't say excuse, a valid reason. So anything, and then they copied it directly off our webpage, exactly what our paid parking program said. Residential rate, non-resident rate. We don't consider this fair and equal. So we had a decision to make. So we agreed in principle, and this is what the resolution is tonight. We've agreed in principle. We have not passed anything until tonight. But we agreed in principle that our parking program, we would not offer resident, non-resident rates in our upcoming season that starts next year in 2025. Now, it's pretty simple why we made this determination. Our federal share, there's federal share and non-federal share. 65% of the money for every beach renourishment project is federal funds. That's roughly $8 million. And then through the state budget, and through TDA funds from room occupancy tax. That's where the other 35% comes from. If we lost that roughly $8 million every 3 years, if we had to come up with that, the number Arlen gave me was a 61 cent increase in your tax rate. So we go from 29 cent and add 61, almost 90 cent. So it's kind of, it's a no-brainer. They had us backed into a corner. And I hope everybody is, I hope any citizen goes back, and please tell your citizens to go back and listen to this recording tonight, because we didn't have a choice if we want beef reimbursement. Okay? So all we have agreed to through this resolution is that we won't charge resident, non-resident rates for our season passes. Carolina Beach is in the same situation. They have a little bit more parking spaces and a larger area that covers. They've got a little more flexibility. We're kind of, like I said, we're kind of pigeonholed into what we can do here. What I'm asking of everyone tonight is that Dennis and I, as Dennis being the original person on the parking committee, and Arlen and I have already started talking about parking fees for next year. We'll share our thoughts with the remaining part of council. It will be on the November agenda, be published ahead of time with the November agenda of what we're recommending for the parking fees for season 2025. And then we're going to discuss it. We're going to open it up for public comment. And then we won't vote on it that night in November. We're going to leave it open a month. We're going to ask you, ask your friends. We'll send out a notification. Please respond to us and tell us if you have better ideas or concerns. And then the December meeting, we'll adopt our fee schedule for the upcoming parking season. And we'll see how it goes from there. We don't like it. I've got a bad taste in my mouth about the whole thing. But there was a stall tactic involved that pushed us to the backs and against the wall. We easily could have appealed their decision. We could have possibly asked for some type of injunction. We could have taken a route of going through our congressional office. But the bottom line is, we didn't have time. So to get the project on the street and bid and start construction, we didn't have the time. Now, I can't tell you if that was by design, but it sure didn't work in our favor, okay? So Dennis and I had a very good startup, a meeting with the Army Corps of Engineers last week, and I made my points to them that I knew that those two guys sitting in the room wasn't the ones that made the decisions. And I asked him to take our message back, that we felt like we were backed into a corner. So that's where we are. I hope I answered your questions, James, and most of them, you know, it's just, and it's unfortunate we're there, but we're going to work to improve on it. We may have a year that's not very pleasant, but we're going to work to improve on it. So when you see this fee schedule come out, please contact us. Let us know what you feel, what your neighbors feel. We'll ask everybody to submit stuff. We'll probably send it to Beth or Mandy to get it. So that's where we are. That's why we're where we are. It basically, I'm not going to read the resolution line by line, but I think the third and fourth says it, and five said discount parking passes being offered to residents only. The Corps took the position that the town's parking program did not comply with federal requirements. So that's the main thing. That's where it comes from. So That being said, council, if you have any questions, comments?
Let me just, so Alan just mentioned that apparently this is getting around Carolina Beach. They're going to be making changes to their parking program as well. There are differences between Carolina Beach and Cary Beach in terms of distance from the beach, what qualifies as equal access for beach, equal availability for beach access between Cary Beach and Carolina Beach. So if you start hearing things about Carolina Beach, what their program is, though we don't know exactly what it is, remember there are differences. All of our parking is within beach access areas. So we don't have a choice of designating some as available for the beach and some parking spaces available for other purposes, such as residents. All right, so I just want to give you a heads up that there will be differences in our program between Carolina Beach and Cary Beach because of this factor of what's available.
Not very pleasant, y'all. It's not been, but we all have our feelings of why. There's just speculation, so I shouldn't say what my feelings are. So that's another discussion for another day.
And we will continue to pursue this. As Alan said, we've got a year. We have to get this done, and we will do it this year, but we're not going to let this go by easily.
Okay. All right, so that's all I have for as my lead up to this. I guess we need to adopt the resolution.
Yeah. Make a motion.
Okay.
I make a motion we approve the resolution as presented and continue to work on the Corps of Engineers getting them later.
Second that.
Any discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. And that's five ayes. Very strong guys. Y'all, I'll be honest with you. I apologize to y'all. We pulled Jim. You can go ahead and stand if you want to. Jim's got the next thing on the agenda. Jim was a tremendous help, and we did everything we possibly could. Cause we tried to do enough to satisfy him without going to here right off the bat. I had my feelings. In the very beginning, they would end up here, but I tried everything we could to keep them getting there. So, Jim, you have something for us on the permit
such
fee?
An impassioned discussion. I'm going to add some comments.
Okay.
Just a couple of comments. Everything Mayor said is correct. I'd like the public to understand that this process took months to play itself out to the bottom line. We were receiving emails and attending meetings where we knew something was up, but scratching our heads afterwards because we wasn't quite sure what was going on. At the end of the day, or at the end of several months, I should say, it turned out that offering discounted passes to residents was not equal when non-residents paid more. It's that simple. But where the when the mayor says we're backed into a corner, recalling that the current beach management plan should have been on the street by now, the ultimate leverage was a letter we received that said the Corps had suspended federal participation until we played it by the way they wanted to play, so hence the resolution.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that they did suspend our program, so yeah, at one time.
The Corps has confirmed that this is acceptable to them at this time.
Right, it is. Yes.
There was another issue about the county has helped us out in the past by collecting and distributing the non-federal share, and that took a separate resolution where we formally authorized the county to act as an agent for it.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will keep the poor happy while the mayor and Mr. Panicali do their thing. We ready to go to the next item?
Yes, sir, we are.
We've been doing a lot of syntactical changes, actually Joe Barlock has been doing that, and in the course of doing those things, combing through the various chapters and focusing, as Joe does very minutely, a few civil penalties / fee schedule changes have come to light. Most of them can be dealt with by staff as we work towards finalizing the current batch of syntactical changes, but I want to bring your attention to a couple of things. You should have, I think on page 98, an agenda document that the very first line says 10.06.040. Mm-hmm. I want you to look at a couple of things. The E1, well, first of all, you need a permit. And if you look at E, by permit, the vehicles listed in 1 are allowed on the beach, and that is basically vehicles associated with beach restoration protection work. So that led me to have a question. When we're doing a beach renourishment project, do we actually require the contractors and all the other vehicles to have a permit? Do we actually do that?
No.
So my recommendation is that we can take out 1 and just renumber 2 as number 1. Is that okay with you all?
Yeah. It's okay with me.
Yes. Yeah.
The now the other group that needs a permit is reflected in the current number 2. Drivers participating in town-approved events, basically is what that stands for. Then if you come down to F, you see that public service vehicles are basically exempt from the permit. And if you go down to the very bottom of the page, you'll see that handicapped vehicles, which also get a permit, are also fee exempt. So that leaves, if you look at G1, the highlight in there, the permit should be issued at a cost in accordance with the fee schedule. Reading back up, the only drivers that are required to pay for the permit are the drivers who are participating in town-approved functions. My recommendation is we just get rid of the permit fee. You can go ahead and go with permits if you want, and the police department handles that, but I think if somebody is participating in a town-approved event, that I just don't think it's necessary to get into the weeds with another permit fee. So my recommendation is we delete the requirements, and if council wants us, we'll do that.
And the permit just gives us the knowledge. We know somebody has requested it and they have permission.
Yeah, and that's such a sensitive area. A couple of meetings ago, we actually expanded the scope or the geographical scope of no vehicles on the beach except exempted vehicles. And we extended it from the low water mark to the toe of the front toe of the dune. So it can't be anywhere. It's a sensitive area. Ecosystem-wise. So I think the permit, I don't have a problem with that. I just think that getting into the fee is getting into the weeds a little bit.
I mean, honestly, the only people that ever drive on the beach is our staff, people associated with beach renourishment, people that survey the beach.
The turtle
folks, and the if we approve a film permit to allow them to drive on the beach. We could have our contractors for this coming beach access. They'll have to...
There's good reasons.
Yeah, so there's several things there, but I don't want this to imply that we're going to allow people...
No, at the end of the day, we're just taking the fee out.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure the... we're also going to take out E1. We're not going to require beach nourishment vehicles.
Right. Yeah, we don't require them to.
The other two points are very simple. Don't even have an agenda item for you. Some time ago, council instructed staff to make sure that the civil penalties in the code are also reflected on the fee schedule. There's two items that have come to light that are not on the fee schedule, and just want council's blessing to put them on. When it comes to parking tickets, if you don't pay in time, there's a late fee charge. My recommendation is we go ahead and add that late fee to that section of the fee schedule.
That's a parking ticket given by our police officers?
Correct.
Okay.
Or don't we have enforcement also through the paid parking people? It's not necessary. Do they issue tickets as well?
But, well, Mike, go ahead.
We don't have a late fee. You either pay it or you don't.
Well, according to the code, 1010.010D, according to the code, 1010.010D, whenever an officer of the town's police department charges enforcing the article finds that its provisions have not have been violated, the officer shall notify the owner of the violation by attaching a notice of the ticket. Subsection 2, ticket requires the owner to pay within 15 days. If failure to meet this deadline shall result in a $25 late fee. Seems to me that we could remedy both situations by just removing the reference to the police department that if you violate, you're going to get ticketed, and therefore the ticket, if it's not paid in time. I mean, I don't care who issues the ticket.
Well, the parking, we need to talk through that a little bit more, because I think Arlen probably got some, we don't collect those fees. The parking company does. And they set the...
Do we do late fee? Have you run into any late fee situations at all?
For the parking company?
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have a... At this point, they don't have a late fee.
But they have a early...
Citation fee, and then you have to pay for the full day of parking. So I think that the whole thing is, in that case, would be about $60. They don't escalate it so that if you don't pay it within 10 days, 15 days, it goes up to a higher amount. That's currently a
thousand
for them.
So let's, hey, Jim,
yeah, let's put that on the agenda.
Jim, right? Can we put this on the agenda and discuss a little bit more? Because
that's fine.
And there was one more point you had?
I just wanted to point out that the provision I just read is that. Is for regulations in including parking, stopping, standing, and parking. So yeah, if you want to,
let's do some. Yeah, let's wrap it all together. And
have a... All right. So we'll add the. The other one I wanted to add was code provides for, I think it's a $75 charge for illegal parking during a state of emergency. That's not in the fee schedule, and we'd want to add that.
Yeah, we need to add that.
All right, so we'll add the SOE parking violations, and we'll clean up each vehicle bone strand permit fee, and we'll look at late fees later.
Okay, let's do that. Thank you. All right, mayor updates. Just real quickly, everyone, been a busy month, interesting month. We do have the Fort Fisher Museum grand opening was delayed because of the storm. It's next Tuesday at 11 a.m. If anybody would like to come to it, I think we all have received an invitation for it. And then this past Saturday, I had the opportunity to welcome a group that was staying down at, having a rally down at the Air Force Base, down at Blakesley Air Force Base. And it was a Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association. Quite a unique bunch of guys and girls. And I went down and welcomed everybody and took credit for the beautiful weather and the sunset they were going to see across the Cape Fear. And was getting ready to leave, and I looked at the drummer for the band that was getting ready to play, and it had Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2006, and the initials RVS, Ronnie Van Zant, original drummer, Lynyrd Skynyrd Band. And that old man got up there. When they announced me as the mayor and coming up, I got a little drum roll from him. I thought that pretty cool, get a drum roll. So I never got that before. But we had a good group of they advocate for veterans' rights, and we were thrilled to have them in town to have their rally here, and they said they would be back again. So John's going to get him a motorcycle and a vest before then. So and David too. So
oh, no.
So But that was a lot of fun. That's all I have. Dennis?
Nothing, Mayor.
You've talked a lot tonight. You know anything?
Yeah, so one, just great job by all the staff for the storm, so a shout out to them. For the 147 of us that had flooding, a couple of things. One, we should reevaluate whether we have flood insurance or not. And for those on the VE section of town, which if you don't know what that is, we have a flood map. But all the people on 421 that had flooding, which was a lot, their flood insurance does not cover that because it's the first floor. So just recognize that when you see your neighbors out there, many of them are making decisions, financial decisions that was fairly impactful to them, right? So just realize there's a lot of people. I'm hoping that with these declarations that we got pushed through, and it was a lot of effort. So it wasn't just me and the mayor calling one or two people, and it wasn't just our activities. It was Brunswick County as well. And then all of our representatives did a great job at all levels. So I was really surprised this weekend when the federal declaration came, and I hope that helps both all of us, because we spent a lot of public money. Arlen just showed you how much, as well as the 147 property owners that have property damage. So good week, or yeah, better week than a few weeks ago.
John, anything?
Speaking of veterans, November the 11th is Veterans Day. That's a Monday. There is going to be a ceremony on the island this year. The what's the place called? Post 129, the American Legion up in Carolina Beach. They have, over the last few years, participated in the Wilmington celebration of Veterans Day. This year, there is going to be an event at the lake right around the noonish hour. It's been changed a little bit. Go ahead.
It's 11 a.m.
11 a.m. Mm-hmm. They were going to have a parade and do that and then go up to the post and have food and beverage and stuff. I think the parade got changed. Anyway, meet at the lake in Carolina Beach at 11. There'll be a playing the national anthem, of course, all the different military songs and anthems, and a guest speaker, things like that. So, yes?
It is at 11 a.m. at the lake, but everything is going to stay there. They're going to be cooking hot dogs. It's open to the public. Everything is free. There will be events from 11 to 11:30, and then after that, there'll be a barbecue with hot dogs for everybody and chips and things.
Great.
That's all.
All right. Connie, have anything?
No, just remember to go do the resident tourism survey, their master plan. Put in your input of what you want to see for tourism in terms of Prairie Beach.
What is that website again?
Just go to the town website. And
look under town news.
It's about the fourth item down in the news, okay. And you'll see about taking a survey for a tourism master plan.
Great, thank you.
It takes about 15 minutes to do.
I got one final thing. Immediately after this storm, the day of the storm, we were in communication with New Hanover County Emergency Management and the county manager's office. They helped facilitate the startup meeting, not only with emergency management state and New Hanover County, but also with the governor's regional office. We were all on a Zoom call. Dave and I were on a Zoom call with them about our plan moving forward. I don't think we stated this, but later that week, we actually had one of the assistant directors here in town looking at the site. So they were, our state and county government were very responsive to us and our needs here. Our needs are small compared to the western part of the state, but they sure treated us and tried and have been very helpful to us at all. So that's all I have. I think we have a closed session tonight, folks, so I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session.
I'll make a motion that we go into closed session for attorney-client privilege per North Carolina General Statutes 143-318.11, subparagraph A3.
I'll second.
Motion second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.